A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We have not caught up since the draft. That's DeMichael Cole on X at DeMichael C. He's the Grizzlies beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal. DeMichael, what's happening, brother? How are you?
What's going on, Gabe? A lot's happening, but not too much on the Grizzlies. But a lot's happening around here, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to get into the Grizzlies draft in a second, but what do you make of all the discussion right now about the Grizzlies, quote-unquote, sitting on their hands? I guess that's sort of the thought process from some people within the fan base.
I don't know what people expected or whatnot, but you got to be patient with the situation that the Grizzlies are in. The number one thing is pretty much every roster spot right now is it's filled up. So you can't just go out and sign guys to guaranteed contracts when at the end of the day the NBA gives you 15 roster spots. And coming into the offseason, even if you take Luke Kennard out of the situation – and, Yuta Watanabe and Lamar Stevens. That gives you 3 roster spots. Zach Edey is automatically 1. That's a first-round pick. Jalen Wells, I would assume, is probably going to be on a standard deal as well.
Right.
Cam Spencer is more likely going to be on a two-way since you already have Scottie Pippen and Trey Jemison on two-ways. You only can have 3 players on two-way contracts. So you put one of the second-rounders, most likely going to be Cam Spencer, on a two-way deal. Jalen Wells, so that gives you 14, and Luke Kennard, I'm sure we'll probably talk a little bit more about him, but that's 15. So if you look at it like that, yeah, you might want the Grizzlies to go get someone, but how does it happen? They got to be real creative. Like, it's going to involve other players on the team potentially being moved if that's the case, and those things take time because now you got to get partners. You need another team to say, okay, we'll take on that player, or we want that player as well.
No, they need to consolidate first before they really do anything. And is there anything that you're looking at as a consolidation move right this second, like a player out there where obviously it would probably have to be through a trade of some sort? Is there anything out there that's available to them?
Nothing major.
You're right.
I think the Grizzlies' rotation, for the most part, is what it is at this point. And you know, with maybe bringing back Luke Kennard as that bench scoring piece or whatnot, I think the rotation is going to be pretty much set in stone at that point. Now, at this point, you just want depth pieces. I think, for example, if Jaren Jackson Jr. goes down, who's your starting 4 and your starting 5? Whatever that looks like, there's some trickiness or there's not going to be a whole lot of confidence in that group. So I think what they're missing right now is that Xavier Tillman Sr. type
right.
of big man. And not necessarily playing style, but the role. Like, Steven Adams and Brandon Clark were your top 2. Let's say Zach Edey and Brandon Clark are your top 2 guys at center this year. I think that's fine. But who's going to be that guy when you go to the playoffs against the Minnesota Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns, like we saw a couple years ago, was dominating, right? And Steven Adams was clearly unplayable in that series. It was Xavier Tillman Sr. who stepped up into the starting lineup. He became the starter and finished that series out. And there are several other times when Brandon Clark was hurt or when Steven Adams would miss a game here or there. No sweat. You got Tillman as a decent third big man. You probably didn't prefer him being a everyday starter, but he was a good third big man. They don't have that guy right now. So you might want to improve on the margins right there. Maybe go get you another shooter. You know, mm-hmm. I would be opposed to the idea of adding one more wing shooter. They have a bunch of wings. So that would come also by knowing that you can get rid of, you know, someone who's already on the roster. But, yeah, there's some low-cost options out there who I think could be better shooters complementing Ja, Dez, and Jaren as well.
What do you think about the Luke Kennard? They denied his $14.7 million option. There is some thought that they're going to try to get something done regardless, though, on the open market. Well, what did you make of that decision and what the plan is going forward?
So here's the thing. Personally, I wasn't too high on the idea to opt out of the contract.
Right.
At the time he did it. I've been saying for months that the best case scenario for both sides here is the Grizzlies restructuring the deal and both sides can win. Grizzlies could get him at a lower number, while Luke Kennard could get more security. Instead of playing on a one-year, $14.8 million team option, he'd get 2-3 years of security and get more money, you know, in total money that way. So there's a scenario where I think both sides could win. But my thing is they've had a long time to work on this.
Sure.
This is something that could have been before the season. This is something that could have been done, you know, before the free agency negotiation period started. But once you get to that period, now you're playing with fire.
You've lost control of it.
Yeah, when you decline the team option, you're basically saying, okay, yeah, other teams, shoot your shot.
Yep.
We still like them, but shoot your shot. But with all that being said, I still think the Grizzlies are the favorites here. It's very likely that he ends up in Memphis because of that. Like, it's very easy for them to rework this deal and get on the same page. He likes playing here, and I've said 100 times, the Grizzlies value what he brings. The Grizzlies need shooters. They know that they need shooters. Look at the draft second round. Both of those guys are in Memphis because they shot the ball extremely well at the collegiate level. That is the main reason why they're here. When 2022, when the Grizzlies drafted David Roddy, Jake LaRavia, Kennedy Chandler, Vince Williams, the one thing that Zach Kleiman had said after that draft was they believed that those guys would really open up things for players like Ja and whatnot. That clearly hasn't turned out to really be the case. Vince Williams is starting to do some of that. But those guys didn't shoot as well as they wanted them to. But if you look at this class, they took it to another level, to the extreme, in addressing the shooting. None of those guys, even though their shooting percentages in college were good, none of them shot at the volume and accuracy of Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer.
Yeah. Now, the idea, though, with Luke Kennard, usually when you're going to get a deal done, this is sort of, I'm reading sort of what you're saying, mm-hmm. like through it. When you deny the team option like that, if you were going to sign him back and you had something figured out, you would have immediately had another shout from Woj directly following that. And that's what you're saying. They had time to figure this out, and they didn't seem to.
They had time to figure this out. I still, don't get me wrong, I still think he ends back up in Memphis. But at the same time, it's kind of obvious, right? Like, it would have made sense. Oh, the options decline, and then boom, Luke Kennard's back. But no, there are still some things that they're working out there, but I mean, from all indications, seems like the negotiations aren't going terrible. It's not like Paul George and the Clippers where they were miles apart or anything like that. So it's very likely that he still ends up here. It's just, you know, they're taking a different type of route for that to happen.
Yeah, and to like the people who have concerns about the beginning of this free agency window, I get it, because it feels like there's some teams in the West that have gotten themselves a whole lot better. Namely, you look directly at the Mavs. They brought in Klay Thompson. That starting five could be very nice, right? I mean, when you look at sort of what they have at this particular moment, you're looking at a team, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Luka, P.J. Washington, and Derek Lively in year two, and he was already really good in year one. That is a team who just got to the NBA Finals and seemingly made themselves better.
Yeah. You know, I'll be devil's advocate, because it seems like Klay Thompson, his playing style is so perfect for anyone, because he's he's low, like, usage from the standpoint of, and he's high production. You know, he's not going to say, hey, throw me the ball 35 times. He's not going to dribble a lot, but he's going to produce. He's going to score points. He's going to compete on the defensive end. He's not the same defender as he was pre-injury, but he's still got that mindset that he can do it. So he's going to compete. But if I have to play devil's advocate, great shooters, like just typically in the history of basketball, you got to touch the basketball a lot. Now, you're not dribbling a lot or whatever the case may be. But this situation for Klay, like, everyone's, oh, it's a perfect fit. He's going to get open shots alongside Luka and Kyrie. Yeah, that's the simple form of it. But if you want to take it another level beyond that, here's the thing. Klay Thompson and Golden State, the thing that he and Steph Curry were different than any other shooter in the NBA at that time was the way that they moved without the basketball.
Right.
It was just hell trying to guard Golden State for 48 minutes, knowing that Klay or, you know, Steph are just not going to stand still. Dallas had the least amount of movement amongst offenses in the NBA.
Yep.
It's pick and roll. Luka and Kyrie are going to try to cook you. They're going to draw extra defenders, and they're going to kick it out. This is going to be a very – unless they shift their offense, it's going to be a very different playing style for Klay Thompson. We're so used to seeing Klay just run around, run laps on offense in those 24 seconds. We're so used to seeing guys in Dallas just go to the corner, stand over there. All right, just wait till Luka throws the ball to you. But if he doesn't throw it to you, just stand right there and wait. Like, that's completely opposite of what Golden State has done, you know, in this whole era of them winning championships and whatnot. So I'm interested to see, you know, how his rhythm and all of that translate to that style of basketball. But maybe they incorporate some Golden State stuff to ease it, to transition for him too. But all in all, I'm with you. That was devil's advocate. I think at the end of the day, you got one of the best shooters ever to take the pressure off of.
On a relatively cheap deal, a pretty cheap deal, too.
Relatively cheap deal. Like, that's a pretty big gift for them.
Yeah, for sure. Now, with the Grizzlies, we have not talked about the draft class in general, which, of course, is centered around, no pun intended, Zach Edey. What do you think of that pick at number 9? And what do you think he can provide in year one to the Grizzlies? Do you like the pick? Are you sort of in a wait-and-see mode, or did you not like it at that particular moment in the draft?
I like it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it. You know, my only thing, you know, from a, you know, not liking it perspective was the fact that you probably could have gotten him a little bit lower.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe there wasn't a trade down partner. You know, maybe there wasn't anything else that on the board that stood out from that perspective. So value-wise, I feel like you probably could have picked up an additional asset and still got your guy. But with all that being said, I'm fine with the player. Like, this is exactly what they've needed, a physical guy who's going to be in the middle, who can protect the rim and take pressure off of Jaren Jackson Jr. But more than anything, it gives them that optionality that we like to talk about. The best teams in the NBA have that. What made Boston stand out the way that Boston did was because if you want to play fast, you want to play big, you want to shoot, you want to play sluggish, they can beat you in all these different type of ways. We've seen the Grizzlies be able to get up and down and whatnot. But what we saw was it was that Lakers series, even in the Timberwolves series, you know, and that one, and even at various times in the regular season, they would get beat up by certain teams in the paint. I mean, Domantas Sabonis had, like, what, 15, 16 rebounds in the first half of that one game against the Kings where he finished, I think, with 25 and 25 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a problem because, you know, Jaren just hasn't been a great rebounder to this point, and the other centers were not physical and good enough in those areas. You're hoping that, with a Zach Edey can help, you know, cover up some of those mistakes and whatnot. So he helps you in that physicality standpoint. But then when you play those teams like the Clippers or whoever else that may want to go small,
right,
okay, that's fine. Guess what? Let's move Jaren over to center.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon Clark, power forward. Both of them have real good feet. They can switch onto the perimeter. We can play it that way. We can play it big, however you want to play it. So he gives them that optionality to be able to do both of those. Now when you run into Jokic or, you know, Zubac for the Clippers when they want to play big or, you know, those type of bigs, you feel like you can hold your own, whereas in the past those have been the guys that have given the Grizzlies a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I was not the highest on the pick, but the more I thought about it, I obviously came around. That's how a lot of fans are. But you just sort of look at the two non-negotiables, the two things he does well. He can screen. He's probably the best screen setter in the entire draft, and then he can rebound. You just know those are given, and those check two of the boxes that the Grizzlies need first and foremost. Now, there is the news out there that he did pick to sort of get used to his NBA career, stick with the Grizzlies this offseason and not play for Team Canada. Is that the idea? Just get him used to what he's going to be doing in the NBA?
It's his rookie year, and you know, there's a transition period. And quite frankly, they're investing in this guy. There's a big investment here. So you don't want anything weird to happen over there, and you want, you know, everything to go smooth for him. You know, his first offseason, this is a big investment. It's the number 9 pick in the draft. And a lot of people seem to forget, but Zach Edey is still relatively new to the game of basketball. Compared to a lot, this is a guy who didn't start playing basketball till his teenage years, 15, 16 years old.
Right.
So he's still, you know, learning the basketball game. And now when you get to the NBA and there's certain, you know, spacing elements that he's going to have to learn and whatnot, it's good to give him this extra time in the summer to play with the Grizzlies and take advantage of that. So I think it's big, it's important. I mean, there are advantages to playing FIBA with Canada as well, but at the same time, I think, you know, the Grizzlies have so many different things they want to throw at him. You know, how they want to play him in drop coverage and things like that. He's got to get used to having like a Jaren type of defender. You know, what that means, what that looks like. You know, even without Jaren being out there in the summer, we're just talking about, you know, how the Grizzlies use him from a coverage standpoint. And we know Taylor Jenkins, even though they're probably going to play a lot of drop coverage with Zach Edey as the center, they're going to still mix it up in terms of how that looks and what they do around it. So it's a lot for him to learn, basically. And it's a good thing that they're trying to get ahead of.
Yep. For sure. Talking with DeMichael Cole, at DeMichael C on X. He is the Grizzlies beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal, also co-host of the Locked on Grizz podcast with our man Joe Molinax. Now, you are formerly, before you got to the CA, you were working for the Philly Inquirer. The 76ers, Philly Inquirer is going to have a lot to write about what they've done already in this offseason. They signed Paul George, 4 years, $212 million, or, you know, he intends to sign that. Then they brought in, re-signed Kelly Oubre Jr., bring in Eric Gordon. That team right there, and also when you look around the East, what the Knicks did in trading for Mikal Bridges, you have some teams in the East that it feels like, hey, maybe there's a chance that they could dethrone the Celtics from the perch they sit atop right now after winning the championship.
Dave, oh my goodness. Like, was this always too much to ask for? Like, I've watched Western Conference basketball my entire life. And when I say watched it, I'm talking 21st century, because the 90s were pretty my live watch days. So with that being said, like, all I've known is the Western Conference being dominant.
Right.
Like, 4 or 5 teams. Like, Western Conference has had, 3 dynasties in my lifetime, pretty much. Like, the Spurs, the Golden State. And then the East has been LeBron James.
Yep.
Like, that's what the East has been. And, you know, you got a Celtics championship in there. You had a couple other things. But it's been LeBron James. So it's like, finally. Like, Boston just wiped the East on the way to the final. And, of course, there was some injury stuff in there, but it was well overdue for Boston anyway. They've been owning the East without actually winning the championship for years, it felt like, but except Miami, maybe. But yeah, Paul George, Philly, I like the move. He seems like just the perfect complement to go right in between Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. He can spot up. He can, you know, close games as a scorer for you. He can defend. I like the fit there. I like what the Knicks did as well, just from a competing with the Celtics standpoint. Neither of those moves make me think, oh, yeah, that's the team that's going to beat the Celtics. But I'm looking real close at the 76ers and what else they have. I know they had Eric Gordon, Andre Drummond as well.
Yep.
Kelly Oubre, they re-signed him. Like, they're making some nice moves over there. I'm just glad the East is, like competing. Like, they're not just going to lay down to the Celtics. Like, because no one in the West lays, lays down. Like, the Clippers, if they were in the East, they'd be trying to blow it up right now. The Clippers they just re-signed James Harden. And they inked back with Kawhi Leonard as well. They're going to try to run this thing back. Like, it's just the West for you.
Yeah, but the two concerns, though, with those two teams, the Knicks and the 76ers, yeah. By the time we get to the playoffs, are they going to be healthy, right? Because obviously for different reasons, the 76ers, it's Joel Embiid. Are you going to come into camp in shape? Are you going to be able to get through a full season without having your knee hurt by the time we get to the playoffs? And then you take a dip as far as your production is concerned. And then with the Knicks, it's like Tibbs. You have a full cupboard, man. It doesn't matter where you're seated come playoff time. You can make a run if you're healthy enough, but he doesn't seem to take that approach. We saw it this year. I thought the Knicks were the team that had the best chance of potentially beating the Celtics in a seven-game series, even though I don't think they would have done it this year. But they were hurt. Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, everybody was down and out by the time they got to the point where they were really going to compete.
Yeah. Starting with, I'll start with the Sixers there, and I'd say to me, it's not even just Joel Embiid. It's the fact that you signed 34-year-old Paul George.
Right.
When you reflect on this Clippers run of the last 5 years, the one time that we see Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs together, and that was in the bubble. So I don't even really count that, you know, that much. Like. Yeah. We when the Clippers went to the Western Conference Finals and they beat the Jazz in that series, I think Kawhi got hurt somewhere in there, and Paul George played the Western Conference Finals. Like, Kawhi was unavailable. And then in the first round a couple years ago, this year and last year, when they played the Suns last year, I think Paul George wasn't there, and then Kawhi got hurt last year in the first couple games of that series. And then this year, it was Kawhi who was out. So, like, it's just one or the other. And you know, you hope him and Embiid can both play. But Paul George, 34, a lot of missed games. That's the tricky part about that one. And then getting to the Sixers. I mean, the Knicks. Check this out, though. You got the – is it the unstoppable force and the immovable object?
Right.
That's with Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges has never missed a game in his NBA career. Longest active games played streak in the NBA. Now he's got to play, you know, with Tibbs. And when we talk about, you know, the idea of how Tibbs wears guys down and all that, this is what I call an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. 474 career games in the NBA for Mikal Bridges. Never missed. He played 83 games in that 2020.
Yeah, I remember that, yep.
He got traded from Phoenix to Brooklyn. So the guy's never missed a game. So I'm looking forward to, like, if Tibbs beats him down, then the theory has been proven true.
Yep. Now, I'll say this, though, too. I mean, like, this is the most Tibbs team since – you know, the Derrick Rose days with the Bulls. The only thing he's missing is Taj Gibson, even though he signed him, I think, 2 years ago. Taj Gibson was on that team. So he's still around. Maybe there's a deal out there for Tibbs to strike with Taj Gibson.
Don't always. I mean, I saw on a podcast like a week or so ago, Taj Gibson said he took us through the process. He was like, Tibbs called him and said, are you in shape? He's like, yeah, I'm in good enough basketball shape, but then Tibbs told me, you know, we won't throw you in there or anything like that. Just we'll work you along. Then the first game he comes out and Tibbs just like,
of course,
in the fire.
Yeah, here's 20 minutes for you. Let's see how you can handle this. Your old body can handle this. Now, last couple of things, and I want to get to two Western Conference teams. One, I want to start with the Spurs. Now, I don't think they're going to be some unbelievable team going into next year, but you have Wemby, you have Stephon Castle now, and then they signed Chris Paul to a one-year, $11 million deal. I like that signing for them. Again, I don't think it puts them over the top, but what do you think about that team going into next year? They will definitely be seemingly improved.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't put them over the top. Yes, you're right. But what I would say is it's not a check mark, you know, book it, easy W game.
Right.
So it's not, if we're looking at the Grizzlies schedule when it comes out in August, we're not looking at the Spurs anymore. So, oh, yeah, that's 4-0, keep it pushing. Because Chris Paul, you can talk about his age, but the brain isn't going to go anywhere. He's smart. Like, he is the perfect player to look Wemby, well, not in the eye, probably in the belly button or the chest. But he's the perfect player to look at Wemby and say, you are dominant. I'm going to get you the ball no matter what. and you have a mismatch every night. You see, it was a joke this year when people would, you know, talk about the Spurs and say, oh, they're not getting the ball, they're not feeding it to Wemby as much as they can. Chris Paul has a history of just feeding whatever big he's played with a lot. So I think that alone is going to unlock another level of Wemby and unlock another level of Spurs in the process.
Now, the final thing, and this is something we closed Friday on, me and Connor last week. Pelicans ended up trading for DeJounte Murray, and in return, the Hawks took Larry Nance, Dyson Daniels, and 2 first-round picks. Does it just seem like the Hawks settled? And two, do you think the Pelicans are going to be even better than they were a year ago? Like, what it feels like that is a really, really good get for them, considering their team needs.
I think so. It is a good get for them. As far as the package goes, I think that's about the going price, because he has a nice size contract and whatnot. So you got to factor that part of it in. Like, you're taking on a lot of salary there and whatnot. And then, of course, it has been rumblings for a while that pairing with Trey and DeJounte is imperfect. So something was going to be done sooner or later. But as far as his fit, everything in New Orleans at this point depends on what they do with Brandon Ingram. And
yep.
This is why I love basketball. Because basketball is like, it's hard to take a star lineman off of an NFL team, defensive or offensive line. So if you take this guy away, it's addition by subtraction. But in basketball, you can make that argument that the Pelicans taking Brandon Ingram, his high usage, out of the lineup, and having, you know, Trey Murphy play more minutes, who's a shooter, to space the floor for Zion Williams, unlock another level of Zion. Now you got another 6'5 big guard, DeJounte Murray, who's been an all defensive player before, wasn't really great defensively with the Hawks, but he's been that before. So it's in there. You know, I think that could be an addition by subtraction. The Brandon Ingram Zion thing, I'm never going to be a believer in it at this point. And I think that's why we're hearing Brandon Ingram's name in all these talks as of recently. So if they can find a way to, and that's going to be a big move for someone, because I'm not saying he's not a great player. Like, Brandon Ingram can go
he can score.
And be the, he can be the missing piece somewhere else, but he's not the missing piece in New Orleans. So I'm not going to put them in that, oh, they scare me tier, until they figure out how to, you know, the Brandon Ingram and Zion Williams and parents.
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning of that pairing, I didn't believe in it. I know you say at this point you'll never believe in it, but from the beginning, DeMichael, they operate on similar spaces of the floor. They want the ball in their hands. They're going to go try to score. Is there enough shots out there? Even from the beginning, I just felt like that thing was doomed.
Exactly, and that's all it is. I mean, that's why you take him out of the lineup, you put a guy in there like Trey Murphy, who not going to ask for the ball 50 times and all that, but he's going to knock down a bunch of three-pointers, which is perfect, playing alongside of, you know, Zion Williamson, and DeJounte Murray's going to knock down some shots. C.J. McCollum's going to knock down some shots. Like, that, to me, takes the Pelicans to that next level.
Yep, for sure. Well, DeMichael, I appreciate you hopping on. We'll do this again soon.
No, for sure, Gabe. All right, take care.
Yes, sir. That's DeMichael Cole. He is the Grizzlies beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal. He also is co-host of the Locked On Grizz podcast with Joe Mullinax. He's on X at DeMichael C.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Oh. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.